be abiding in him. If you got your Bible, let's look at John 15, please. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified, and we're going to start in verse 1. And this is Jesus talking. It's red letters in the King James Version. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, there's other translations, like I think it's the CEV and the TLB, the Living Bible. They say, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Vernacular today, we might understand what he's saying a little bit better like that. He says, any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away. He trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit, to make it bear more and richer fruit, richer and more excellent fruit. Now, if you've ever pruned a fruit tree or something like that, you know it doesn't have to be a bad tree for you to prune it. It doesn't have to have dead limbs just necessarily all over it for you to prune it. It's kind of like this. Sometimes a tree can get too much fruit on it and it don't get very big or very tasty. But if you'll prune the tree, how many knows that fruit will get bigger and it'll become tastier. If it's peaches or something, it'll cause it to get sweeter. That's what he's talking about here. He's the vine, we're the branches. Where's the fruit come? On the root? No. You see it on the branches. But how many knows one branch can have 7 or 8 different other little branches coming off of it? And that's like the things in our life. And he says here, if you've stopped bearing fruit, he's going to prune you. So you're pruned if you do and pruned if you don't. So if you are bearing fruit, he's going to prune you even more. Why? So your fruit gets bigger. It has more value. It has more substance to it. He says, make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. Verse 3, you are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have spoken to you, the teachings I have discussed with you. He says, dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. What's he saying there? You go out there and you cut a limb off of that tree and you go back 3 weeks later and it's just got apples all over it and it's just lush and green, the one you cut off. No, it's dead, it's dried up. If it did have any fruit on it, it's withered up to where it's nothing, right? He says here, if you come out of me, if you don't abide in me, if you don't stay in me, and me stay in you and my words stay in you, you can do nothing. Now, some people think, I've heard stories about a couple one time, they pastored a church for 30 years. Got rid of that, retired from that or whatever, and then went to a meeting and got born again. Didn't even know they wasn't even saved. So it don't matter that they pastored that church. What did they pastor that church with? Just natural carnal things. Why? If you're not born again, you don't have the Spirit to give out of the Spirit. Right? He goes on here and he says, verse 5, before he says, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Now, I know the fruit over there in 5:22, love, joy, peace, all that. Yeah, you can't produce that fruit on the inside of you without him. Why? It's supernatural fruit. It's not a natural love. This is the God kind of love that there are no conditions on it whatsoever. He just loves you because he's that good. I can't love you with that kind of love without being born again and abiding in him and let that fruit from the root come out of me. You understand what I'm telling you? I can love naturally, sure, to where I could love you, but you kill my kid. I can't love you no more, and I'm going to kill you, and blah, 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 blah. But there's stories of other people. I've heard of testimonies of them that this one guy, he killed this other guy's son, and God dealt with him, and he forgave him and all that. And before you know it, he was going to the prison visit him. And he has actually legally adopted this guy that killed his son, and he treats him just as his son. You can't and won't do that with just natural love. Why? Natural love is selfish to a certain degree. It becomes about me. Where the God kind of love is always about somebody else, right? It's about God, and it's about other people. He says in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, You are the branches. So we know who he is and we know who we are. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. So you could turn that around. If I don't live in him, I'm not talking about you got saved. That's just where it starts. He says, however, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Second time he said that. You can do nothing. Now, our flesh and our mind just carnally likes to think we can do all kinds of stuff. We can do a lot of stuff. Nothing of internal value can you do apart from him. And in the day that's going to declare it, that's all that's ever going to remain. He goes on and he says, what are we, verse 6, I'll read it. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and they are burned. If you live in me, he says, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue in you and continue to live in your hearts. Ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. Now see, there's a lot of people, they'll read that and they'll be like, yeah, but I didn't see a but in that sentence. Because they're thinking carnal. They're thinking, well, yeah, you know, but you could ask something out of God's will, or you could ask something, you know, to spend on your flesh or something like that. Did you hear what he said? He said, if you abide in me. The word abide, let me read it to you. I read it then. In the Strong's Concordance, in these verses that I'm going to be talking about today, the word abide, it means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. Abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, and tarry. He says, if you abide in me, if you dwell in me, you'll see it on a census or whatever. They send you them and want you to fill them out. They'll say, what is your dwelling? They want to know, is it a house? Is it an apartment? Is it a mobile home? Why is it called that? You live there. Right? That's what he's saying here. See, there's some people, they don't abide in him. Y'all not saying nothing. They don't abide in him. Been there, done that. Why do you think, how and why do you think I backslid when I did? Because apart from him, I can't live this life. Sure, I can still keep going to church. Sure, I can still keep reading the Bible. Sure, I can still keep giving the tithe or whatever. But do you know all of that outside stuff don't mean I'm living in him and he's living in me and his word is remaining on the inside of me? In order to dwell in him, it's not I just talk to him or think about him or fellowship with him when I have a need. It's all the time. Y'all heard the story, Scotty? Bless his heart. The man was dumber than I thought at the time. And he agrees. Y'all heard the story. He gets born again. He starts getting up before, you know, earlier for work or whatever. And he goes in there and he kneels down at his chair, which was a recliner at the time. And he would pray and fellowship with the Lord. And then he would say, okay, God, see you when I get home. Y'all remember that story? Him telling that story? He had no clue he was supposed to abide. He had no clue it was possible for him to abide in the Lord and the Lord abide within him. But oh, when he found out, he never again knelt down there and said, okay, Lord, see you when I get home. The Lord spoke to him, take me with you. Oh, that was a revelation to him that changed his entire life. That's how come you hear the stories about whenever he is at work and he would do something, things would happen, something bad was happening, where normally he'd get in trouble or chewed out by his boss or cost him something. Nothing would happen. It would be fixed. The boss wouldn't say anything. People that used to taunt him and different things like that, they would come and start saying, will you pray for my mama? She's got cancer. Will you pray for my family? We're on the brink of divorce. It's because he learned to begin to abide in him. I live in him. He is my life. He lives in me. And his word remains on the inside of me. How does his word remain? How do you keep it remaining there? Just whatever you hear and see, do it. What James said. James said, he said, if you're just a hearer, if you hear the word, but you don't do it, you don't practice it. If you hear the word and be like, yeah, yeah, I got that. I've been knowing that for 25 years. Deceived. Deception. Why? Because you're not doing it. That word's not living on the inside of you. Jesus himself said, I think it, what is it, John 6, 33 or somewhere around in there. He said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He told us over there in Proverbs, he said, guard your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of your heart flows the issues of life. God is the life-giving spirit. And when I spend time with him, when I fellowship with him, and I abide in him, and he abides in me, and his words live in me. Y'all heard the story about when Scotty read that about do good to your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you. Love your enemies. He had a lot of enemies. Now, a lot of it was his own doggone fault because he was so mean. Nobody, his own mama didn't even like him before he got saved, did he? I loved him, but I couldn't live with him. I mean, he's something else. But when he come across that scripture, because he abides in the Lord and the Lord abides in him, when he read that scripture, love your enemies, he closed the Bible and he said, God, I don't like that. I mean, if you got true enemies that you just absolutely hate and you come across that where God says love them, it might take you a minute. But because he read that, and he abides in the Lord, and the Lord abides in him. He took that word, and he started meditating on that word, and he began to love his enemies. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've heard him pray for those that was his enemies, that had done things to him that shouldn't be done to nobody. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. But see, I don't know. It's like we've lost something, Sandy. It seems to me, and maybe I'm not seeing right, but it seems to me like we have lost, just like the church that I grew up in. You was there. I mean, somebody say Jesus and repentance and the altars are full. You remember? You say Jesus and repentance here, people don't even hardly breathe. Now, I'm not saying you always got to come to the altar. But it's like we've lost something, seems like, to the younger generation. They don't know what it is to serve God. A lot of them don't seem like. This is an exchanged life that I give him my life and he gives me his life. And his words become so precious to me that they are more important than food when I am hungry. See, I don't know if you came from where I came from. I know we all came out of the same cesspool of sin. But the Bible says, he that has been forgiven much, it is him that loveth much. And I don't know about y'all, but when I come to Jesus, I was a wreck. And y'all think I'm something now. I was an absolute wreck. When Scotty got born again, that man was an absolute wreck. He wasn't just jealous. He had a spirit of jealousy. There's a difference. And that spirit drove him day and night. And it made my life miserable. And it made his life miserable. But he could not seem to stop. And some things that I had done didn't help it. Made it even worse. Just confirmed the thoughts that the enemy was telling him to start with. So I loved him, D, but I couldn't live with the man. He loved me, but he couldn't live with me. Why? I'm not going to take your crap. You don't tell me what I'm going to do all the time. See, it wasn't just he was jealous of men. I couldn't talk to my mama for a long time. I couldn't have a relationship with my brother for a long time. I couldn't have a relationship with my sister. Nobody that I cared about could I have a relationship with them. Why? Because he's got such a spirit of jealousy, it's not toward men, it's toward anybody that he feels like I might care about. And you talk about torment. He's tormented. I'm tormented. And that's just one thing in our lives. That's just one little thing in our life. I would cry, and I don't know why I'm crying. And I'm not a real crying person. But I would cry. I didn't understand that my mind was my mind. And I could control my mind. I didn't have to think the thoughts that came in my mind. Such thoughts of depression and suicide, and to the point to where right before I got born again, I started having these thoughts. I would like to kill somebody just to see what it's like. I mean, that's not normal. Even lost, that most people don't think those kinds of thoughts. Unless you're a serial killer or something. So when we come to the Lord, we was a wreck. Our lives was a wreck. We had made a mess of our finances. We had made a mess of our marriage. We had made a mess of every single thing in our life. So when we got born again, we didn't get born again hoping that our life would change a little bit. We got born again because there is nothing else. And there is nobody else that can do the things that He can do. And that He has done. But He says, you're going to have to abide in Me. So this is why everybody don't get it. We got born again, and I started reading 10 to 15 chapters of the Bible a day. Not because I had a little calendar like y'all got. Not because I had a little calendar, read my chapter every day. It's because I was so hungry for the Word of God, D. I wanted to know Him. I wanted to know what He said. I wanted to know the things that pleased Him, the things that didn't please Him. I mean, to the point to where I'm reading all this every day. Scotty, poor thing, he comes in from work, and he'll say something. The Bible says don't say that. The Bible says don't do it. And I'm not trying to do it religiously. You understand? There are people that they will take the Word and religiously just slice you and dice you up. I wasn't doing it for that reason. I was finding these things out, and I was sharing them with Him to the point to where one day the Lord spoke to me, and He said, it's not your place to tell Him. And I knew what He meant. I got to stop telling Him, the Bible says say this. The Bible says don't say this. The Bible don't say. Why? I'm not His Holy Ghost. That's the job for the Holy Ghost on the inside of Him. But because I was so hungry for the Word of God, and the Word was so precious to me, I mean, I was back in the day when the internet first come out. Just loved the internet. Why? All these preachers that I had heard ministering on TV and little 20, 30-minute clips of them or whatever, I could download sermons. If they had 15 sermons in that series, I could download them, but it'd take me 2 weeks. And I worked on them Sandy day and night. Day and night. And Scotty would come in and I said, listen, let's listen to these new tapes that I got made. Why? Because it's dial up. You know, y'all remember that? And sometimes it takes me 2 weeks depending on how long the series was. And not because I had to, but nobody making me. No, our church didn't tell us to. But the desire on the inside was greater than anything else in my life. It didn't matter if my house didn't get cleaned up. Now, I had to take care of Travis. I mean, he's 2 and 3 and 4 years old. But when he would take a nap or whatever, I'd get my Bible and I would read. Or when he would be outside playing or something, I'd go in there on that internet and I would work that dial up and I would download them series and then I would put on another one to download. I mean, until 9 and 10, 11 o'clock at night. Why? Because I'm abiding. And He's abiding in me. And His Word is more precious to me, D, than anything else. And I want to know it. I want to hear it. I want to do it. Something's happened, Sandy. I see a lot of people that they think that they just come and they say this quick little prayer and Jesus is going to make everything in their life all right and you just kind of go and live a good life, you know, go to church every now and then if you feel like it, tithe every now and then if you feel like it, or even be diligent at it. But there's no abiding. There's no loving Him more than you love very life itself. And He says, that's the key. That is the key. If you will live in Me, if I will become the very air that You breathe to you, and you will let Me live in you, and you will let My words live in you, that when you hear preaching or you read something in the Word, that it is your heart's desire to do it at all cost. That you love your enemies no matter what. even if they keep doing you wrong. That you don't talk about your boss, even if he don't treat you right. The Bible says we're called to suffer these things in this way. Why? It'll build character, number one, if you keep your mouth shut. The Bible says Jesus was like a lamb led to the slaughter, but what? Never opened his mouth. But that's the key to this whole thing right here. See, we want to ask what we want to, and we want him to do it. I don't know anybody in this room probably don't want to ask God for something and him not do it. You want him to do it. He says, okay. He says, there's a key to that. You abide in me, I abide in you. My word abides and remains within you and brings forth fruit. See, when Scotty got born again, y'all heard the story. I don't know why I keep using you as an illustration. I got my own stuff here, but anyway. Y'all heard the stories. When he got born, before he got born again, he was very racist. Very racist. I mean, just the sight of any person that their skin wasn't as light as his or lighter, you know. I mean, he just don't like you. And he says stuff and does stuff and different things like that. But y'all have heard the story. Whenever we go to, he gets born again, one of the first thing God does is sets us up with a test at the laundromat with Hispanics. Or Mexicans. I think it makes a difference. What is it, Nani? If you're born in this country, that's a Hispanic. If you wasn't, that's Mexican or Guatemalan or whatever. Yeah, okay. I thought I had it right, but ask somebody that knows if you don't really know or whatever. But anyway, that's one of the first things God done. And while he's gone to take them home, I keep hearing this, and I thought it was the devil. I don't know what to do with this. Works worthy of repentance. Works worthy of repentance. I don't even know this is a scripture, Sandy. I mean, we ain't been saved very long at all. Maybe a couple of months, if that long. I mean, we're going to the laundromat. And he comes back, and I tell him, and it stops. And later, we come across in the scriptures where Jesus said, works worthy of repentance. Go and bear fruit from what you say, the repentance that has taken place on the inside of you. How many knows that was fruit from true repentance? Why? True repentance, you don't continue to keep having bad fruit. If it had not been true repentance, I don't know, he'd probably went to jail. And that's what I see that a lot of people seem to want to be doing. That they want to hear the word. Woo, that was good preaching. Good preaching ain't going to do nothing for you. The Bible says that they in the Old Testament didn't mix faith with the preached word that they heard. It profited them nothing. Didn't do a thing in their lives. But he says here, he said, the key to this whole thing is you abide in me. You don't just think about me when you want to. One of the greatest things, don't let this stuff go to your head either. This is the Lord talking, this ain't me. Two of the greatest things that I have learned from Scotty. Now, I know people meditate, and I know people confess the word, and I know there's people, I'm sure they do it more than him. I'm talking about in my arena. What I know, what I have come across. That is the most meditating, confessing man I have ever met personally in my life. He is day and night, unless he's asleep, confessing the word. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He is constantly day and night meditating. Now, he works a public job. He has his own business. He has stuff he has to deal with. I mean, but when that right there, he's not having to deal with, the word is abiding in him. He's meditating on it. He's thinking about it. He's saying it out of his mouth. I mean, to the point, I mean, he's done this ever since we got saved. Not too long after that. To where he run around saying, I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm rich. We can't even make a $40 a month air conditioner window unit payment. I mean, listen, we can't even make that payment. We ain't got no money. They're cutting our lights off every other month. And he's running around hollering, I'm rich. I'm rich. Jesus took upon himself poverty that I might be made rich. I'm rich. He'd tell everybody he come in contact with, I'm rich. Jesus has made me rich. You're rich. Glory to God. Just like he does here. So I think maybe he's slacking a little bit. I mean, used to, buddy. That's about all you heard out of that man. And sure enough, Dave, things started happening. Why? He's abiding in the Lord. The Lord's abiding in him. Those words, Jesus' teachings, are living on the inside of him. They're not just words. They begin to come out and begin to transform and reform his life. Well, Travis was on the full Medicaid and all that, and he's running around hollering all this stuff. Well, before you know it, he started making better money, and we come up, you know, with finances, whatever, a little bit. But, I mean, we're still not what I would call rich. I mean, if we skip one paycheck, we are in trouble, you know, or whatever. And he's still going around saying that stuff, I'm rich, I'm rich. Well, then Travis gets on all kids. And then one day we're there. I'm there at the house, and all of a sudden in my heart I have this. Rich people's kids don't have all kids. I thought, rich people's kids don't have all kids. My kids got all kids. Rich people's kids don't have all kids. Now, on the inside of me, there's a little fear there, Johnny. He gets sick or something, I don't have extra money for no doctor. I don't have extra money for no medicine. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I don't have it. And Scotty's running around prophesying it to everybody how rich he is. He's doing what he's doing by faith, because that word is on the inside of him, and faith is rising up, and he can't help himself but to say it. And because he's saying it, he is being tested after test after test after test, the words that's coming out of his mouth. That makes me think of you guys. Y'all didn't really think that the devil was going to let y'all confess all that y'all did, that y'all was going to do and wasn't going to do before y'all got married, did you? And let you buy with it? See, all this that you said, okay, as we tried to talk to him, you know, I did just a little bit. I know Monty and April really did, you know. Are you going to tithe or not tithe? That's something that needs to be decided before we hook up, before we get married here. Why? It's a problem if we're not in agreement. Are you going to have kids? You ain't going to have kids. Are you going to do this? Are we going to go to church? Where are we going to go to church if we're going to go to church? And then they say all this good stuff out of their mouth that's in line with the word, and bam! Bet you never thought it would come that low, did you? The devil never, ever comes the way you think he will. Ever. And you'll never meet a more sly, crafty something or another than him. But he's being tested, having test after test after test of the words that is coming out of his mouth about this financial prosperity and being rich. And over there, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. That was his favorite scripture day, and he would say it and say it and say it and say it. And he's not just saying it to be religious. Some people do that. He's saying this when he's got a little bit of money to buy a Coke, when he can't buy a Coke, all this stuff. And these tests are coming. But do you realize at the end of the test, there's always a reward? So God said, rich people's kids don't have all kids. And on the inside of me, there's a certain amount of fear there. I've never been here before. God takes us deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in him as we go. He says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Right? You don't build the house all at one time. You got to start with the foundation first, and that's got to dry before you can build anything on the top of it. But anyway, God said that to me. Rich people's kids don't have all kids, and I've got fear on the inside of me, and my head is telling me, don't do it, don't do it, you need it, you got to have it, this is the way you're supposed to do it. And I said out of my, because I'm abiding in him, he's abiding in me, his words is abiding, they're living on the inside of me, they're remaining, they're not being plucked up by trials and tests, I'm not saying it out of my mouth and my head, it's coming out of my heart. And there I sat there in that living room and I said, okay, God, I'm going to take him off of all kids, because you said rich people's kids don't have all kids. Took care of that, went and talked to them, told them we don't want this all kids no more or anything like that. Y'all not saying nothing. See, we got Christians lying today so they can get extra food stamps. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I know some of them. And you really think God's going to bless that? Do you really think that's abiding him and his word abiding on the inside of you when you're lying to get extra? When if you would be truth and tell the truth and live, let the truth live on the inside of you, God could give you more food than you could eat in a million years. And so I said that. I said, okay, God, took care of that. I mean, they're sitting there, you know, he's pretty healthy. What are you, 180-something, 190-something? Pretty healthy. You know, looks pretty good there. From that day until today, he's never Monty needed to go to the doctor that we did not have the money. Now, we had to believe God for it. When he would get sick or something like that, I'm telling you, I don't understand these kids, these parents. Their kids say they're sick. They say, okay, no school today, and they let them go outside and play. I don't understand that. I'm old school. You tell me you're my kid and you tell me you're sick, I get a cold wash rag, I throw it on your head, you stay in that bed all day long, and I put Kenneth Copeland or somebody on, Gloria Copeland, God wants you well, healing. You gonna listen to scripture after scripture after scripture. Ow! Travis, by lunchtime day, I'm telling you, he'd always be well. And I'm not talking about he was faking it. Why? That word. He said, if you abide in me and my words remain, abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. But the condition is abiding in him, letting his word remain on the inside of you. How does his word not remain? You let it get plucked up. Mark 4 over there, the sower sows the word. Now there's different types of ground and all that, but what does he say? He says, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things, do what? It comes and it chokes them. That word can't live. It can't remain. He says in one place over there, in those very same verses, he said how the word gets plucked up. People become offended because they're abiding, but then when persecution and affliction arises for the word's sake, that's why I told them, you didn't really think you was going to get out of that, did you? You don't think you're going to go to this church and sit in this church and hear financial prosperity. It is the will of God. God has already done it for you. God will supply your every, and go out there and say that stuff and not get a test? Well, you're crazy. The devil wouldn't be the devil if he didn't do that. Why? He's got to get that word out of you. That word can't remain on the inside of you. Why? Because if it remains in you, you're going to ask what you will, and it's going to be done unto you by the Father. That's what he said. And he can't afford to let that happen. Everything that Apostle Bill Borio, I cleaned out the closet, one of the closets the other day, and I come across all these prophecies again and tapes and stuff, Scotty's first sermon, you know, all this stuff that I had saved all these years, and I was listening to him. And I was listening to that one where Apostle Bill Borio told him, you know, he didn't even know us and called him up there and began to pray for him. And he told him, first thing he told him, he said, not that you don't, he said, but you'll go further with this lady than you ever will without her. And he was talking about me. So I don't let him forget it. Because most time it don't look that way, dude. It don't feel that way, but it is that way. And he begins to tell him, he says, you want to be the one with the fistful of dollars. You want to be the one to have money to give, you know, and all this stuff. And he begins to laugh and he says, you've chosen him, God, to teach your people how to prosper. And he begins to laugh. He said, and come out of debt. That is one of the things he is chosen for. That's not just a message that he gets out of the book. That is something that he has lived ever since the day he has got saved. And I can tell you that come January, it will be every word that he has spoken, Scotty now is. Now that has been almost 30 years. But if you will abide in him in you, and his words live in you, you don't let them go. You keep, listen, I have sat and listened to tapes and cried and said scripture out of my mouth because I am trying that hard to keep that word in there, because everything around me, they're coming to get my vehicles. They're going to throw me out of my house. I've got a 16-year-old that eats the house down before supper every day. And I ain't got no money. I counted out change to buy his last school pictures. And I'm sitting there crying with the word of God coming out of my mouth to hold on till things change. I find that a lot, Sandy. I find a lot of people, I didn't say everybody, but I find a lot of people, they want you to pray it off of them, Dave. I can't pray everything off of you. They want you to meet their needs. I'm not your God. That's like when we first got saved. Before we got born again, we borrowed a lot of money from Granny and Papa. If anything ever happened, you know, because they're the ones in the family, they got the money. They're older, they worked hard, saved, they got the money. So anything breaks down, we go to them, borrow the money. We want to buy something, we go to them and talk to them about it. You know, we borrow the money or whatever. Lo and behold, we get saved, and God says, that's enough of that. You talking about scared? I've never been there before. Why is God doing that? Because God is not going to allow you. It'll be okay for a little while when you first get saved. He allows certain things for a little bit, but then he begins to deal with you. Why? He's pruning you to cause you to bring forth fruit for his glory. And borrowing money from Granny and Papa ain't going to bring fruit for his glory. But when I believe him and I trust him, he does it. He gets the glory. He's always, no more borrowing money from them. That was a major thing. But you know what? I've not borrowed money from them in years. And y'all can tell I'm not lacking. I eat what I want to eat and too much of it. I got to stop because our time is up. I didn't even get to half of this. But anyway, does anybody have anything they'd like to